I want to thank everybody for their generosity in this season about the for the families that are on our Christmas tree and for your support of God's Groovy Mission. We're just so grateful for that organization, Ray and Tracy Sprankle. They do an amazing job, and for us to partner with them is an honor. They do a great work. And then for those that have been helping with our year-end giving here at the church as far as getting caught up on things, so we can, the church can start 2015 in a strong place. Again, we're appreciative. Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 3, and we'll just continue on where Pastor Nate left off last week. He did a great job starting off things with the best gift, and we will pick up with things. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world," aren't you glad today, "that He gave His only begotten Son. Not only did He say that He loved us, He demonstrated that love. He did something about it. He acted upon it. That's what true love is. And even when we do, we didn't deserve it. Gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So if you have any doubt today, the Lord wants you to have life. He wants you to have life today and for all of eternity. You know, He wants you to have good things. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And so He's in the saving business. If you're going through something today, going through a trial, tribulation, anything, Lord wants to save you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to get you. He's not mad at you. He's trying to save you, get you out of whatever mess the enemy's trying to put you in, or maybe yourself and just your own actions. And so this is the great verse for the gospel, at the heart of the gospel, the good news. And you know, God's got a salvation plan. It's working in the earth, and he's been working it for thousands of years, but certainly it was implemented 2,000 years ago when Jesus came, Christmas time. You know, wasn't Christmas time back then, but anyway, that's this season. And He came to the earth. He came to take away the sins of the world. He came to bring peace. He came to bring reconciliation between man and God. The Bible says that He, even while we were sinners, Christ loved us. And He gave us something that we did not deserve. He introduced agape love. Agape love is unconditional love, not based on performance. Not, you know, in the law, old covenant was all about performance. But this new covenant is a different covenant, not based on our works. I mean, our works cannot earn anything from Him. It's by His grace. And so there's a key component to the salvation plan, and it's found in Acts 26. Verse 17, you can put that up there. It says this, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." It's the gospel. "That you may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." A key component to salvation is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is vital to the salvation plan. Without forgiveness, there'd be no blessing. If we're not forgiven, there'd be no blessing here on the earth. If we're not forgiven, there'd be no eternal life with God. So it's pretty vital, pretty essential that we're forgiven. And the word forgiveness means to let go. Everybody said let go. It means to release from punishment. Meaning you deserved punishment because of your behavior, because of your actions. You deserve to be punished. But because of grace, because of love, you choose to let it go. You choose to forego punishment. And so in essence, you liberate that person. And I like the way that, you know, forgiveness, letting it go. You got to let it go. So when we're forgiven, our sins are remitted, not atoned. Under the old covenant, our sins were atoned, meaning atonement means covering. Meaning they're still there, and for a season, they're atoned for until next time. And so the seed and the nature of sin is still there. It's always there. But under the new covenant, our sins have been remitted. There's remission of sins, meaning they've been wiped away. And our sins, and this is so awesome, you need a revelation to get a hold of this. We've been forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven. They've been forgotten. There's no record of our sin in heaven. And that's why it says over in 1 John that we can have boldness in the day of judgment, because our day of judgment, it's just going to be good things on the video for our judgment. All the sin, there's no record of it. It's like a CD that's been wiped away, but you can't even go back and find any traces of what was on that CD. So part of the gospel, part of being a believer, is we are forgiven. Everybody say, I am forgiven. And we really could just take the rest of the service just praising God for that. Every day you just need to thank God. He is so good. He is so kind. He is so loving, gracious, faithful. And you know, to say that He is good, I mean, we got to come up with something better than that. I don't know what it is, but I mean, He is good. He is good, as the Bible says, and His mercy endures forever. And His mercies are new every morning. That's awesome. Is that awesome? So forgiveness is letting things go. And because of that forgiveness, we're able to enter into the blessing. And I mentioned it earlier in my prayer, we're seated with Him in heavenly places. Right now. Whether you feel like it or not, as a believer, you're seated with Him in heavenly places, and you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. And if He's given you His Son Jesus, won't He freely give you all things? I'm talking about not in this life. I mean, we could sit here and talk about heaven, but in this life, give you all things. And so, since we've been forgiven extravagantly, shouldn't we forgive in the same manner? Do we want to go there, or do we want to just stay on the us being forgiven? Let's take a vote. We like to vote around here. If you want to leave, now's the time. No ushers will be stopping you. And you can say it's been good. You just go home and rejoice that you're forgiven. There's a scripture in Matthew 10, verse 7, says this. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So if we've been given, you're talking about the best gift, if we've been given this gift of forgiveness, shouldn't we then give forgiveness? Right? Shouldn't we freely give it? Isn't forgiveness a vital part of Christianity? Shouldn't that be at the core of our lives and how we live on a daily basis? Shouldn't we operate in forgiveness? Shouldn't we be skilled in forgiveness of all the different things about being believers? Shouldn't we be forgivers? Shouldn't I mean, these are questions. And I'm not saying that forgiveness is easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But I do believe it's vital to a healthy, whole, and long life. And that's what I want in Christ. I want to be healthy. I want to walk in wholeness. I desire, because the Bible promises me, a long, satisfied life. I want to live a life where I have no regrets. Where I'm sitting around at home wondering what I, you know, about this and what about that. And I don't want to have any regrets. Maybe have that in my tombstone. No regrets. Wouldn't that be awesome? Not have any regrets. R.T. Kendall has a great book called Total Forgiveness. He lists four levels of forgiveness, and I want to share them quickly with you. The first one is detached forgiveness. This is where there's, so after you've been hurt, you've been wronged. Now today I'm covering you being wronged. We can talk about the other part of, you wronged someone else another day, but I'm just talking about you being wronged today. Detached forgiveness, where there's a reduction in negative feelings towards the offender, but no reconciliation has taken place. Limited forgiveness, there's a reduction in negative feelings towards the offender, and the relationship is partially restored. And there's a decrease in the emotional intensity of the relationship, meaning the relationship wasn't quite what it was. Full forgiveness, total cessation of negative feelings towards the offender, relationship is fully restored. Reconciliation. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You ever been reconciled with somebody? I've seen reconciliation, and it is an amazing thing. It's beautiful to watch. But we need the fourth type of forgiveness, because what happens if you're not restored in the relationship? And what happens if that person is no longer living? What happens there? Well, then we have total forgiveness. And this is without restoration of the relationship. Maybe the person is no longer living, or the person that has offended you does not want to reconcile. So God's got it covered, either way, whether you reconcile or you don't. I mean, ultimately, as believers, and especially with another believer, I think you should be reconciled. I think you need to do all you can to reconcile. And I think, some of the teaching even that I've done here on forgiveness has given people kind of a way out. Well, thinking, well, you don't have to be friends or golfing buddies, and that's true. But I think there's people that should be reconciled that aren't. And they haven't gone to the limit on what they're supposed to do for reconciliation. And they justify it for all various reasons. But just so you know, if you choose not to forgive, just like us, if we're not forgiven, the blessing won't be there. And I'm not saying all the blessing will be removed, but part of the blessing from God will not be manifested in your life. So the other person can just go on, and you're the one being hurt because you have chosen not to forgive. So there's consequences. So go ahead. I mean, I'll just be real sweet. Go ahead and not forgive. Just go ahead and do it. I mean, be hard-hearted. Be prideful. Be stubborn. Go to your grave not forgiving. But you're gonna miss out on blessings that God has for you. And I'll prove that to you in a moment here. That's always exciting. Still time to leave. You can do it. I'll forgive you. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll read this from the Message translation. And here's what happens, and I'll, as I come to some of these words, you'll see what happens when you're hurt and when you're when something is done against you that brings pain to you. Ephesians 4, verse 30, Message translation says, don't grieve God. Don't grieve God. Don't break His heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for Himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Now, this word grieve, if you do a little study in that word, the word grieve, it's like two people that are in love. Maybe a married couple. Two people that are deeply in love, and one is unfaithful to the other. And can you imagine the pain and the hurt for that other person? That's the grief that we're talking about here for the Holy Spirit. He's grieved. He's hurt. It affects him. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how. I mean, I hope he's the comforter. He's the counselor. I hope he's got somebody to counsel him. Good gracious. All these people that are hurting him, how does he make it? I guess that's why he's God. But all these people, we know about the world. I mean, without Jesus, you can't love. Without Jesus, you can't forgive. So the world, they are broken. You can't understand the depths of the pain they have being without Christ. I've been there in the ICU unit when someone's dying and that family doesn't know Jesus or they don't have a church. I've been there. It's just like, oh my God. It's like hell. It's tangible. It's tangible as God's grace is. We're going to have more lights pop today. The anointing must have been so strong, Nate, when you were preaching. But to be without God. But then we have in the church, and we should know better. But there's the same devil operating in the church and outside the church. It's the same devil that's trying to cause division and strife. Because he knows that when we come together, how powerful we are. So he brings every kind of offense and hurt that you can think of. And his ultimate goal is to take you down. Take you out. Get you so broken that you can't even function. And that's what he's trying to do. And so the answer to the hurt, because what you don't want to happen is to be bitter. Bitterness is like a poison. Bitterness, and that's what happens, is because they've hurt you and you want to get revenge. You want them punished. And so you're going to go do all you can to see that happen. But as that seed of that just festers in you, and psychologists and doctors, that thing will affect you physically. It'll end your life. Stomach ailments and all kind of things. Mental issues. Just that bitterness. It's like a cancer. Just eating you up every day. And that's what the enemy wants you. He wants you to be hurt. He wants you to be offended. He wants you to be bitter. He wants you just seething on this thing, thinking about it, talking to everybody, spreading gossip. Because if I tell so-and-so, then they'll be against that person. It's like politics. Factions. We want to take sides. Because I feel better. When you're against them, then I feel better because someone else is going to be helping me in this punishment. You can say amen or ouch or oh me. I was up in Minnesota, so I was gone last week and had a great visit with all my siblings. And I stayed with my mom, who's 82 years old. And just from the minute I started talking with her, she, you know, because, I mean, she's 82. She's, you know, my dad went to heaven earlier this year. And so she's thinking about her life and all kind of things. And immediately in talking with her, she started talking to me, you know, Matt, you got to take the high road. You know, dealing with siblings and family members, you got to take the high road. We don't have time for offense, and we don't have time for things with people. And you know, and that just started getting in me while I was there. I said, yeah, I got to take the high road. I don't have time to have these petty little things to hold me back. So she was talking about that. And then, you know, I talked to my sister. And my sister, so my dad died in February, but New Year's Eve in 2012, and he had been going through a lot of things for like 4 or 5 years, but New Year's Eve on 2012, my dad needed to go to the emergency room. And my mom was calling different family members, and for whatever reason, she couldn't get a hold of anybody. Well, she ended up calling my sister, and my sister Marie, and Marie hadn't spoken to my parents in over a year. She was upset with my dad about something, and so hadn't talked to him for over a year. They've got grandkids, they didn't see my parents. I mean, you see how mean the devil is? I don't know what it was about, none of my business. And so my mom called on New Year's Eve and came to Marie, and Marie's husband, John, answered the phone, and Mom asked him, you know, can you help get us over to the emergency room? And John said, no, I can't. We're going somewhere. And he said that because Marie was upset with him and didn't think that she wanted to. And then he hung up, and then Marie said to John, you know, we need to take him. Called him back, and they ended up going with him. But Marie said to my mom, I said, I feel really bad because we haven't talked in over a year. My mom said, I don't really care. You know, Steve is in trouble here. I don't really care about all that. We just got to take care of this. But it was interesting. Marie was wanting to reconcile with my parents, but she didn't know how to do it. And she felt like they wouldn't accept her or forgive her all along the head. I know that because I talked to them about during that time. And I just think about, you know, so my dad lived maybe a year, maybe 13 months late, you know, longer, and they were able to have that year together. And they picked up like nothing was wrong. And I think about that, and then what happens had they not been reconciled? I mean, it would change the whole dynamics of when my dad did die. Marie was there. We were all together when my dad died. But there's, you know, there's a lot working. There's a lot, you know, and again, the enemy's doing all he can to, you know, I think about the situation that Susie and I had with AFCM. Or I wasn't supposed to say that. I was supposed to say ministerial group. I'll just say that ministerial group. And we had been in this group for 17 years and had asked to serve on a team to help, you know, improve things. And lo and behold, we're asked to be the heads of the organization and signed an agreement to do so. And for 17 days, we're actually the head of the organization. And then we get the email that says, you know, things are on hold. And then we get a letter from the attorney saying that the agreement is void and we're out. And here we've told our leadership about the changes and all the different things. And then not only that, but lies were told and slander and all of that. That makes you feel real good, doesn't it? And it was a real challenge for us to forgive. I mean, it was one of the most difficult situations I've ever dealt with. And it really just came down to faith because I could not forgive. And I had to ask the Holy Spirit for help. And again, it wasn't instantaneous, but I can tell you today, I have forgiven. I have forgiven. And I'll tell you how I know in a moment why I know I have forgiven. Well, what about you? What kind of situations have you been in? I mean, we could go through a list of hurts. Oh, my God. I mean, family, parents, kids, couples, co-workers. Did I say family already? church family. You name it. There is every kind of situation that you can think of. So the big question is, how do I know if I've truly forgiven somebody? It's more than just saying, I forgive you, or, you know, it's more than that. To know when you've truly forgiven somebody, you're going to have peace. You know what I'm talking about, peace? I hope you do. I'm sure you do. I mean, you may not be at peace right at this moment, but I think all of us know what that peace is like. That you just have peace in this relationship, even though they've done wrong, even though they've hurt me, I've chosen to forgive them, and I could see them on the street and be at peace and really love them. Isn't that amazing? And that can happen, and that should happen, and that must happen. What you've done is you've released them from their debt, and they no longer owe you. And you do this in your heart. If you can't be reconciled physically, you do it in your heart. That's where it needs to happen. And, you know, and whether you get a chance to talk to the person about it, you may or may not. I mean, ultimately, I mean, it would be great if you could be reconciled. That's God's best. But if you can't, you've got to do it in your heart. And when you've done all you know to reconcile with someone else, you keep the lines open. Even if they're continuing to hurt you, and again, this is not easy, you continue to be gracious. Don't do the eye for the eye, tooth for the tooth thing. Don't get them back. Keep being gracious. Leave the doors open. Always expecting one day for them to show up at your door and for things to be reconciled. This is not easy. But as believers, this is our mandate. This is our calling. This is who we are. And it'll be by faith. It'll be done by faith. Now, this is the next level, and this is how I would know if I were to ask you if you've forgiven. Pray for God. Oh my God. Pray for God to help them and to bless them. Remember that scripture? Pray for your enemy. That's how I know. And when you can do it on a regular basis, pray for them, and that you would be happy if they were blessed. Woo! Oh my goodness, what? And so now you're only releasing them from punishment, and if you'll see them, you're open to them. But then you want God to bless them. And this, my friends, is Bible. And this, my friends, is why we're Good News Church. And we speak the truth in love here. And we don't give you some kind of watered down message here. And that's why we don't have thousands sitting here today. You're the brave. You're the few. And I don't understand you. You keep coming back. You must be crazy. I'm not praying, you know, Lord, let me entertain him today. Lord, let me give him a nice little message today. Lord, help me give him a little nugget. No, no, no. Lord, you give it to me. I don't have any book that tells me the different sermons to preach on what days. I mean, this is just through prayer, revelation, study. And I don't know it all, but I give you what I got. And what I give you overflow of my relationship with Him. And so I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else today, because I'll tell you what, I don't want to live my life with regrets. I don't want to miss out on the blessings. I'm not going to do it. You have a free will. You choose what you want to do. And so I'm just not going to do it. I'm for reconciliation. But I know it's hard. I mean, even today we're sitting here. I know people are hurting as we're sitting here. And so you're like, you know, how can we preach this? I mean, you're hurting. But I don't want that bitterness to seep in there. I don't want that bitterness to just eat you alive. I love you more. I don't want that to happen. And so to pray for these folks. And you know, how long do you keep on praying? Until you change. Until you delight in praying for them. Until that you're expecting them to be blessed. And I want to tell you what, talk about spiritual maturity. I mean, this thing with, and just meditating on this thing that we dealt with this ministerial group, it was one of the most biggest spiritual things we've ever dealt with. And I feel like we're ready. I mean, I believe Susie and I were together in this, but I believe we're ready for more blessings because we forgave. And I want to grow up. I want to grow up in things. I don't want to, you know, I want to be spiritually mature. And this is a mature thing to do. And what I had to do, and I have this in my notes, and maybe I already said it, but if you won't forgive, you're the one who is in bondage. Not the other person. You're the one in bondage. But there's a great verse, Philippians 4:13, that if you're struggling today to forgive, this is a great verse. Philippians 4, verse 13, amplified, says this: I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength. Who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Now, I'm looking at some of these young people today, and I mean, boy, I hope you guys get this. What kind of life can you lead if you get a hold of this and then choose to forgive your entire lives? What the possibilities for you guys? Now here's a verse, our verse here at Good News Church. Let's go over 2 Corinthians 5. We'll leave some time for some ministry here today. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. Therefore, if any person is engrafted into Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to Himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with Himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only are we to forgive, I mean, all kinds of reconciliation. I mean, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And we talk about it here at Good News Church. You're an ambassador of Christ. You're a minister of reconciliation. But shouldn't you be that the most at home? Shouldn't you be that, you know, to your family, to people that are close to you? I'm a minister of reconciliation. That by word and deed, we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling, restoring the world to favor with Himself, not counting up and holding against them their trespasses. See, you're not holding it, but canceling them, wiping out the debt, and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration of favor. Even though you've wronged me, you have favor with me. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making His appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you. I mean, have you begged? Oh, no, you wouldn't do that, would you? Wouldn't do that, would you? You want them to come begging to you. Let them make the first move. God making His appeal, as it over through us, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. So if I got three words for you today, let it go. Talk about the best gift for Christmas, let it go. Before the end of this year, why don't you let it go? That person that's hurt you. And again, see, and this does not make anything right. I mean, because I can know, we can get into some nasty things here, what's been done to people here. But you've got to let it go. God will help you. Let it go. Release that person. Forgive that person. Cancel that debt. Talk about the best gift for Christmas. And I hope and I pray that it will lead to reconciliation. But even if it doesn't, you're going to go on to what God has for you. So if we're going to give our best, we're going to give, you know, we take the time to, you know, we spend more time looking for Christmas gifts than we do thinking about forgiveness. Spend more time decorating the Christmas tree than we do about forgiving people. Spend more time singing Christmas songs. But isn't the heart of the gospel forgiveness? When we talk about our best gift this Christmas, I mean, we should be rejoicing in being forgiven. And that love and that graciousness should so fill us up that it should overflow then to others. We live out of overflow. You don't have to necessarily even muster it up if you're living this way. It flows out of you. Everybody remember the story of Job? Remember about the story about Job, how he lost everything? Well, one thing about Job is you've got to remember, all that happened to Job was in 1 year. So you need to remember that as you're reading through that, all the mess, and he went through some horrible, horrible things, no doubt about it. But that'll happen in 1 year. But let's read Job 42, verse 10. Remember he had those friends who were enemies? Now let's look at Job 42, verse 10. I'm going to read this from the Message. Get a hold of this. This is for somebody here today. I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. This is for somebody today. You need to put this in a place and look at it every day, because it's for you. After Job had interceded for his friends / enemies, God restored his fortune and then doubled it. I've got chill bumps right now. That is awesome. He prayed for the ones that hurt him. He chose to bless those who persecuted him. He prayed for his enemies. And sometimes the ones that are closest to us can hurt us the most. Most of the time, that's the case. After he had interceded for his friends, God restored his fortune and then doubled it. What is your unforgiveness holding back that the Lord has for you? What happens if we just all just decided we're going to get it straight before the end of this year, in this extraordinary year? Maybe that's what the whole year is about. Maybe before the end of this year, we'll just let it go. And imagine what may happen here at Good News Church if we just all let it go. And we just said, devil, no more. Your lies, your deception, your division, we're just going to kick you in the head. In other places too. And we're just going to collectively just let it go. What a way to enter 2015. What a way to enter this new year. Talk about the best gift. So today, let's just take a moment, and I just want to pray for you right now. And we're going to have some time of ministry here. But I just want you to, you know, maybe, you know, and I want you to take the length of a Christmas song. But let's just take a moment and you just look at your heart and look at the different levels that I talked about. You know, detached, limited, total and full. And I just want you to take a moment and look at your life and see, you know, in these faces that pop up, where are you at on the spectrum? Father in heaven, right now, I'm asking you by the Holy Spirit to deal with people here today. And I know this might be painful for some. There may be tears. But I'm asking for your help today to bring those faces before us. And help us to really, let's be real today. You know, where are we at? So thank you, Lord. Thank you for revelation right now in the name of Jesus. Now, if you can, right now, and you may not need any help, if you can, begin the forgiveness process right now. I mean, it's as simple as saying, I choose right now in the name of Jesus to cancel this debt. Now, that's not all there is to it. But maybe you've done that and you've seen things a little bit better. Maybe you need to go to another level and actually pray for God to bless them. Maybe you can start that right now. And make it good, man. Because you may not realize it, but the blessings in your life may be from the prayers of someone else that you've hurt, praying for you. And the blessings that are coming to you are from their prayers. So I just recommend you make it a doozy prayer. I mean, you get outrageous. And I know some here, you know, maybe you can't even do that. And I'm going to help you here in a moment. But let's get things going. Let's get things working. Holy Spirit, you help us. Holy Spirit, you be working in this room right now. Holy Spirit, you be dealing with it. And I'll just say this. And there's some people, you know, and I say it. And, I mean, I remember back in the early days of the church, I called this one particular person up 3 times to be reconciled. And I said, that's going to be it. Never happened. Boy, you'd have been loved the early days of the church. I mean, I called them up. I'm not going to call you up today. We're so stubborn. If you know in your heart that you're supposed to be reconciled with someone, you, in the name of Jesus, be bold and go make an appointment with them. Even if they don't receive it, go to them. And do all you know to do to get it worked out. Now, there's people here today, and I want to minister to you. If you're here today and you've tried, you've done all you can to forgive, but you just can't and you need help. If that's you, I want you to get up right now and come up here. I'm going to pray for you.